was definitely a school night, meaning I had to go to school the next day. It was a Wednesday. But the church I was attending was meeting. Dr. J. William Harbin was the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Maryville. And the youth director was also the music director, Don Brakeville. And I wanted to be there. So I arrived for the church service, stayed for the youth choir practice. And after the youth choir practice, Don Brakeville said to me, "Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian?" I gave my answer. He knew I came up short on that. And so he said, "Dr. Harbin would like to talk with you." And we walked down the hallway. That's a precious walk for me even today when I go by there. We walked down the hallway to the last office on the right from the choir area. And the pastor was waiting. Mr. Brakeville had a seat beside me across from the pastor's desk. And the pastor took this verse, I think the greatest verse in the Bible, John 3:16. And he read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." I listened intently. And then he explained the verse. He said, God loves you. He loves all people. He loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to bleed and die for the sins of the world, for your sin and mine. He explained to me that I was a sinner. No matter how hard I tried to be my mother's best child, I was a sinner. And then he explained to me that Jesus died to pay my sin debt. Jesus, God's Son, is the only one who could pay my debt because he was the sinless Son of God. He's the one, when Andrew found him, the Bible says in John chapter 1, Andrew found his brother, Simon Peter, and he said, "We have found the Messiah, the promised Redeemer," which is being interpreted the Christ. And the Bible says, and he brought him to Jesus. And Dr. Harbin, the pastor of the church, said, "Clarence, this is the only Savior. He's the only one who paid your sin debt. He's the only one who can forgive your sin." And he explained to me that if I would pray and ask God to forgive my sin by faith, believing that's what Christ wanted to do, that he would hear my prayer, forgive my sin, and come and live in my heart. It seems like the simplest thing in the world, but it is the life-changing thing. There's nothing like it. That's been 55 years ago. And that night, they led me in a prayer. And I asked God to forgive my sin. It's a quiet meeting, no fanfare. I can remember praying and them leading me in a prayer. Oh, I wanted to know the Lord. I wanted my sin forgiven. I wanted to become a Christian. And they explained to me, this is how. And I asked God to forgive my sin and invited Christ in my life as my personal Savior. I knew my mother was not a Christian. I was a little uncertain about my dad. My brother was not a Christian. All younger than me, my brother, two sisters. My sister had come home from a certain meeting one time and said she had become a Christian. It awakened interest in me. And after the meeting was over and I had prayed and asked the Lord to come into my heart, they read again the verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, never die and go to hell, but have everlasting life. They put my name in it for whosoever, Clarence Sexton. God so loved the world, you're part of the world, Clarence Sexton. Would ask the Lord Jesus to forgive his sin. He promised, if I'd believe, I would not perish, but have everlasting life. They explained to me that everlasting life is forever. It began that evening when I invited Christ in my life as my personal Savior. It was not an accident that I was at that church, that that pastor cared about people, that the youth leader cared about me and wanting me to know the Lord Jesus. That was not an accident. I found out since then that some of the young people who were in the youth group, and we had a large one. It was the largest church in town. That building was used for lots of special things. The young people, some of them were praying for me. But that night, the Lord came to live in me. I don't know what you've experienced or how you've experienced it. But all people are lost. All people need to be saved. Christ died for all people. And all people come to be Christians the same way. There may be circumstances surrounding your experience with God that are different from someone else you know. But there is the same thing in the way we come, asking God to forgive us as sinners and inviting Christ to come and live in us. It's a supernatural thing that God does. The Holy Spirit of God comes to live in our lives and it begins to guide us and direct us. We begin to see his hand in things. We understand that he has a purpose for us. For me, I just knew God had something for me to do. I was always very close to my mother, and my mother loved saying to me, "Honey, God has something special for you." If she said it once, she said it, I guess, 100 times. That evening when I went home, she was a little disturbed because I was later than normal. She met me at the door, and I said, "Mother, I got saved tonight." She said, "That's good." She was sort of worked up emotionally. I worried her because I was late. She turned and walked away, and then she turned back around. I have this fixed in my mind. And turned back to me and opened her arms as wide as she could open her arms. And she said, "No, honey, that's very good." And she hugged me. My mother came to know the Lord. God used cancer in her life to speak to her about her need. You see, we have an inevitable meeting with God, all of us. The Bible says it's appointed a man once to die. You say, "I'm not afraid to die." But the same verse says, "But after this, the judgment." The judgment. I immediately got an overwhelming concern for my brother, my two sisters, my mother, to come to Christ. My father would be dead in a month. When I was 18, God put a desire in my heart to be a preacher. I was asked to speak at the Second Baptist Church in Maryville, and a preacher by the name of Stanley was the pastor there, last name Stanley. When I'd spoken that morning, he said to me, "Would you be any relation to an older man that was up here in an apartment with one room for himself named Sexton?" And I'd been to see my dad there, and I said, "Yes, that was my father." This was 4 years after he died. And he said, "Well, you'd be thrilled to know that one day I went up there and knocked on the door, and he was very open and wanted me to speak to him about Christ, and he prayed with me and asked God to forgive his sin and be his Savior." My high school principal began to take a great interest in my life. Stop and think. There are people who have a great interest in you. Less than 10 years later, after I came to know the Lord, I preached our high school baccalaureate in that same auditorium at the First Baptist Church in Maryville. What a day that was. And I have seen God's blessings so abundantly, thrilled at all of this. I remember when I had no choir, and this is what we envisioned. But all of it is rooted and founded in that night, Wednesday night, as a young person when I came to know Christ as my Savior. Every dream, every vision, every idea. You may think you've lived, but you have not begun to live until you know the Lord. The only real life is eternal life. Everything else is existence. The only real life is eternal life. And you can only have eternal life when the eternal one, the Lord Jesus, in the person of the Holy Spirit, comes to live in you. I want you to sit with me for just a moment. As I listened intently to that pastor, I admired him. I respected him. He explained the gospel to me, the good news of salvation. And then after he talked for a few moments, he said to me, I want you to pray and ask the Lord to be your Savior. And we bowed. He told me what I was to pray. And I did that. And that was the beginning of new life for me. And I want to say to all of you who are here, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, this could be the beginning of the only real life for you. That's what all this music is about. That's why he came. That's why he lived and died, rose from the grave, ascended to heaven, ever liveth to make intercession for us. He says he wants you to know him as your personal Savior. I want us to bow in prayer just for a moment. And as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to do the same thing with you that Dr. Harbin did with me. I'm going to ask if you'll pray to God and ask God to forgive your sin and ask the Lord Jesus to be your Savior. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That perishing is awful. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God's promise to you. Would you pray from your heart? Dear Lord God, I know that it's no accident that I'm in this meeting. And I know you love me. And that Christ died for me to pay my sin debt. Forgive my sin. Come into my life. And be my Savior. Help me live for you and live the Christian life from this day forward. This I pray in Jesus' name. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you prayed that prayer sincerely from your heart, I'd like for you to raise your hand, would you please? And hold it up just for a moment. I prayed and invited Christ in my life as my Savior. The Lord won't force himself on you, and neither will we. But this is your opportunity. I want to tell you this. There's coming a day when every person who's ever lived will bow their knees and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Bible tells us that's going to happen. Of your own heart, would you invite him in now? You say, Pastor, I just prayed and asked God to do that for me. I invited the Lord into my life as my personal Savior. Would you lift your hand and hold it high? And we're praying for you. May God help you.